it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Sixth and Peabody, our location. Yacht Beer, Old Smoky Moonshine, Hot Mike with Hunt and Withrow. Outkick.com/watch chat, just like that. Second hour's here. Flying by,
this
man.
It's a festive show today. Everybody's in good spirits.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
I always enjoy Thursdays because you
beautiful
declare the
day.
Weekend.
Some bad storms rolled through Middle Tennessee yesterday. Hope everyone is safe from those. But sun is out today. Nice little breeze. It's really lifted everyone's spirits.
Chad was singing Sinatra to begin the show.
I was spreading the news to start the show. I was dropping.
It's like he was in New York.
Hollywood nuggets. I was going to do a little bit of Trump there. They're dropping. It's going to be really good. I can't do a Trump. Sorry. But Sinatra nuggets to start the show? I mean, what else do we need?
Everything.
You guys want some more Hollywood, another Hollywood Minute at some point?
Absolutely.
I can find some news.
We'll take that. I've got my random skeptic segment coming up.
Oh, sweet.
This time it's time traveling. We've got someone on social that's claiming that he has a time traveler in his shed.
I finally figured out, Hutton. Remember, I've complained about this before. Why am I following EW on all social media, Entertainment Weekly? Because it's always just gossip news about celebrities I've never even heard of.
Yeah.
And every time I'm rolling through my feed, I'm like, why am I still following this? Yesterday, I got some gossip news that I wanted about the show Baby Reindeer on Netflix and the creator of it. I don't know. You need to watch this at some point. But it's a true life story about a stalker in
Baby
England.
Reindeer?
Baby Reindeer is the name of the show. The title's very odd, but they explain it in the last episode. You get the explanation for the title. It is the biggest show on Netflix by far. Biggest show of the year on Netflix so far. Most watched. And it is wild.
Maybe. Okay, I'm in because you've heard.
It's wild.
Maybe I'm asking for too much here.
I don't know that I enjoyed it. It's just wild.
If I'm scrolling on Netflix or any service and I see a show called Baby Reindeer, I'm probably not going to spend very much time looking at it. Like, I need a subtitle at least to just, like, stalker, blah, 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 blah. And then I may check out the preview.
Well, like,
Baby Reindeer doesn't catch me. You know what I mean?
When you see it, it looks like any random true crime documentary that Netflix does. They do a lot of those, right? That's a true story about something.
Yeah.
You know, the Murdoch family, for example. Like, it looks like a story like that, but I don't know if you know this, but Netflix changes what you see on your Netflix.
Yeah.
For the photo of the show is different from what I see.
Really?
They have random images that they curate for each individual Netflix user. So mine actually changes.
What?
Yes.
How
before
does yours change,
I finally
though, if
clicked
curating?
On it. No, what I'm saying is they all, like, you're going to see something based on what you watch.
But yours changes based on what you
the
watch.
The photo for that show is going to be different based on what you watch, based on what Brooke in the studio watches versus what Colin watches, Davey watches, Adam
but
watches.
But you'll see multiple?
Yes. Over the course of time, for a while I got the picture of the main character, the male in the show, and just a close-up of his face with his eyes looking crazy.
What is that show?
and then I got a picture of the woman.
There
from,
we go. Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you don't.
Oh, never mind.
You don't.
You'd rather have the male.
You'd rather see the guy. Just trust me on this show.
Okay, my bad.
You might want to rather see the guy than the woman in this show.
What is the name of the show tied to? Can you tell me that? Is it a giveaway, a plot?
It's tied to a nickname of the main character.
Okay.
That the stalker gives the main character.
Okay. Baby Reindeer.
But the show has caused a lot of controversy because it's Richard Gadd is the guy's name. He is a Scottish actor, comedian, writer. He's actually written on a big Netflix show. I think Sex Education.
Is he related to Josh Gadd?
No, it's G-A-D-D, not G-A-D, like Josh Gadd. Yeah. Scottish guy, but he's telling this as a true story. It's based off of a one-man play he did at Fringe Fest in Edinburgh, Scotland.
The one-act play.
It's not one act. It's very long. It's a long monologue.
One long act.
Hutton, it's true, but he also, I'm trying not to give too much away.
Okay.
He cannot say who is the perpetrator of what happened because of criminal implications. Okay? So he's tried to keep these things secret, while also putting a show out that's autobiographical while using a different name. And he's playing the lead part, and most of it is told from a monologue from him. It's a lot of narration. You get the narrator being him about what's going on and what he's thinking. And then it flips in episode four, and then it's going to make you want to go to Reddit and start researching
the whole thing.
Who did this? Because it's clearly someone of some fame that did this, and it's got the internet going wild. To which he's had to do interviews and say, please stop researching because you're accusing people in my life of stuff they have not done. No one has guessed who it is. But now the real-life stalker has done an interview with Piers Morgan, has revealed herself.
What?
He tried to protect her and not reveal her identity, but now she has come forward. I saw a photo of her last night, the real-life woman, and she's on Piers Morgan. It's up your alley, Hutton, I'm telling you.
Is the woman similar to the woman in the
show? Here's the photo, by the way, of one of the photos of the show. The woman, that's the man.
No, does the woman look like the woman on Piers Morgan?
A little bit.
Did they cast this
a
properly?
A little bit. Now, she's older now. I think this all happened from like 2013 to 2016.
Okay.
But in the first episode, she says she's 42 years old. So she looks like a woman in her early 50s now. So, yeah, pretty similar.
Davey, would you be interested in watching this? Are you with
Davey
me?
Davey watched one episode and couldn't get through it.
Well, okay. No. I fell asleep early on, and I plan on getting back into the show. Yeah,
here's the real
life
woman.
Someone spoke in the middle of the show, and it ruined it for you.
No, I just fell asleep. It was
cast it perfectly.
Like, here's the real life woman. Yeah.
Listen to Davey.
It's it's a lot, man. It's a lot. It's one of those where you think you're watching. Oh, this is like a true crime story that's been dramatized that we've seen before on Netflix, and then in episode 4 of 7. It flips completely, and then in episode, it's very surprising, then in episode 6, it flips again with a big moment, and then it kind of has a conclusion.
It's better than some of the other shows that just drag on and
don't have
a payoff.
It's one of those shows that I can appreciate the twists and turns, and it's compelling to watch.
There is a conclusion, though.
Okay. And it's this guy's story. I mean, this guy's around now. He's a writer. He wrote this show.
But I only asked about the conclusion because she's on Piers Morgan now. That's the only reason I ask if there's a conclusion to it, other than her trying to conclude whatever.
Yeah, there's a conclusion.
Okay, good.
She
clearly doesn't die.
There is a... I'm really selling the hell out of this show. There's a beginning, there's a middle,
and there's an end.
There's not going to be a second season. There's not really anywhere they can go with it.
Good.
Like, this is a contained 7-episode, 30-minute episode. You can binge watch it quick. 30 to 40 minutes. One's like 26 minutes, even shorter. And it's very surprising in episode 4. And then the show becomes completely about something different.
So while we're just discussing shows, I will reiterate, go watch The Jinx season 2. If you haven't watched season 1, watch it. It's great. Season 2, you're now 3 episodes in, Chad. They've dropped 3 episodes.
Okay.
I don't know how many episodes there will be, but every Sunday, HBO Max drops.
This guy right here kind of looks like Jeffrey Epstein that's looking in the window right now.
Can't be him.
No, not him. Looks like him.
I can't see him, though. I've got the glare.
We got all this Hollywood talk going. I'm like, is that Jeff Epstein, the financier?
It is not. It is not, unless a time traveler.
Jeff Epstein, who had the island, right?
Yeah.
He's in trouble? Who is that, Davey? Who's the guy that has that bit on the Conan O'Brien podcast?
Oh, it's Jim Downey.
Jim Downey, yeah. The longtime SNL writer.
Well, I mean, I haven't talked to him since COVID, so I need to check in. That checks out.
It's hilarious because he's just...
We'll just call Jelaine.
Playing dumb.
How do you know these people?
Yeah. I've been at a number of his parties. The financier from Manhattan? Jeff Epstein. He's in trouble? Really, really good.
PGA Tour's in trouble. Rory McIlroy recently been talking about the PGA Tour Policy Board, which he was a part of, then he took himself off of, and now he's trying to get back on or whatever. And the reason why he's not back on, well, first hear from Rory in his description.
Can you tell us where things stand with the board, what the conversations have been, if any, and where it's going?
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversations. sort of reminded me partly why I didn't I think it got pretty complicated and pretty messy, and I think with the way it happened, I think it opened up some old wounds and scar tissue from things that have happened before, so yeah, I think it was, and it was, I think there was, there was a subset of people on the board that were maybe uncomfortable with me coming back on for some reason. And yeah, I think that, you know, the best, I think the best course of action is if, you know, there's some people on there that aren't comfortable with me coming back on, then I think Webb just stays on and sees out his term, and I think he's gotten to a place where he's comfortable with doing that, and I just sort of keep doing what I'm doing. So yeah, I put my hand up to help, and you know, it was, I wouldn't say it was rejected. It was just, it was hard. It was a complicated process to get through to put me back on there. So that's all fine. No hard feelings, and we'll all move on.
Well, no hard feelings. And what you're hearing there, he's more or less confirming the report from the Telegraph, where, and I'll read directly from the report here, that Tiger Woods and the relationship between Tiger and Rory has really soured. Because last week, reports surfaced that McIlroy, who's been a member of this tour policy board during the last few years, he wanted to rejoin. And you heard from McIlroy there as to why that's not happening. And here's the latest from the Telegraph. Tiger Woods was among the players who voted against McIlroy returning to the policy board. The divide is apparently due to McIlroy pushing for the game of golf to unify, whereas Woods reportedly believes the PGA Tour is in a fine position where it currently stands. The AP added another wrinkle to this, though, reporting that Woods is the only player who will be negotiating directly with the Saudis. And you have Jay Monahan, who's on this, of the PGA Tour. You have on this committee Joe Gorder, John Henry of Fenway Sports Group, Joe Ogilvie, who was a former PGA Tour player. And then there's Tiger. And now you wonder the power of Tiger Woods. We already knew he had a ton. You know, you mentioned the whole roast thing. Now think about, he's negotiating as the player, the only player that will be directly negotiating as a part of this quote-unquote merger. Get ready. And he didn't want Rory a part of it.
I don't need to get ready. I am ready for this thing to end. I'm ready for moves to be made, whatever's going to happen. We know what's happening. It's a hostile takeover from the private investment fund of golf internationally. That's what's taking place. Let's just figure out where everybody can then get together and everyone's competing in the same tournaments and to know what it's going to look like. And I think part of it is going to be this team aspect of golf,
yeah,
that they want to keep in some way.
And that's
probably going to be alternating every third or fourth tournament on tour, I'm guessing, will have some sort of team element with everything else being the same. But I'm ready to get to the next thing with this.
The tour's desperate. They're leaning on Tiger Woods. And in this case, so there are a couple different theories. The first is you just need Tiger, right? And he's definitely on the side of, we think, definitely on the side of the PGA Tour, right? Everything he said. Rory's had these offers, you know, he's back and forth. He's now flipped what he was saying about the players that defected, you know, and went to, by the way, so did Jay Monahan. And you have Tiger with the power. A scenario, one was thrown out to me about there will be X amount of events per year where you have the best of both playing, like you're mentioning, the team aspect or whatever it might be. But the other theory is that this new group, SSG, they're going to come in and cut the fat of the PGA Tour. And one of those could be the European Tour, the DP World Tour. And that could be purchased by Liv, and then you could actually start earning points for qualification purposes if you purchase that tour. That's the other theory. And then you have all the players from both leagues. Or you just go business as usual and, well, they take over everything. But now you have Tiger as the one champion of this. And the weird thing to me, Chad, is Jay Monahan's still there. And he's the one that went under the, you know, in the depths of darkness to help negotiate this less than a year after he was, you know, pointing to the American flag and pointing to 9/11 as part of that. I mean, it's sick what happened there with the players. And I feel bad for Rory. because he was trying to be the champion for the PGA Tour.
He was the sacrificial lamb.
And they played him.
Yeah, they put him out there as sort of a false soldier, and he fell on the sword for everyone. Now he looks dumb and has got egg in his face because of all of it. I'm just ready to get to where I'm watching a PGA Tour event, one tournament on a weekend, and feeling like all the best players in the world are in that from week to week, and it's not just people that have been bought to go to live and then the people that remain in PGA. I want all the best players in the top tour and then a trickle down from there. Hopefully we get there soon.
There's more to this with Tiger voting against Rory coming back on. Maybe that's another book. Who knows?
Could be.
Or maybe our insider, maybe Feinstein's doing something on this. Who knows?
He will not be talking about it on our show.
He will not.
I'll tell you that much.
Chris Marlowe will be talking on our show.
That will not happen. He was made very clear to me via text.
It will not.
He will not be a part of anything that Clay Travis is a part of. So if he does that, we could test him, though. The man likes to sell books. So if he's on a book tour and wants to sell some books, he might join us.
And get paid to appear.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I don't blame him for that.
Chris Marlowe will join us. He's the play-by-play voice of the Denver Nuggets. He's up next here on Hot Mic.
What's up, everyone? It's Nick Wright, and I got something exciting to talk to you about today. Angie, your ultimate destination for getting all your jobs done well. Now, Angie isn't just your average home services marketplace. It's a game changer. With over 150 million homeowners served and a network of over 200,000 skilled pros, Angie has experience and expertise to tackle any project with ease. Whether you're looking to spruce up your backyard or undergo a major home renovation, Angie's got your back. And their pros are locally based, often running small businesses right in your community. And here's the best part. Angie makes the process seamless. From researching and comparing pros to scheduling services at your convenience, Angie's user-friendly platform puts you in control. So why settle for anything less than perfection when it comes to your home? With Angie, you can trust every project will be completed with the utmost care and professionalism. So get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today to discover why homeowners across the nation are turning to Angie to get all their jobs done well.
From 6th and Peabody with Yah Beer and Old Smoky Moonshine, it's Hot Mic with Honey Withrow here at outkick.com/watch. Chad, one of the coolest guys we've had on is Chris Marlowe, play-by-play voice of the Denver Nuggets. And because of these long layoffs between games, I guess he's free. He's very busy with other sports and certainly with the shows like this. Thank you for the time, Chris. Great to have you back on.
Yeah, I've had some days to recover from my sprained ankle. I feel pretty good right now.
Good. Okay. How is that?
Much better. Much better. I can run. I can jump. I can finish. I'm ready to do some damage on Friday night.
There we go.
Are you happy that you won't have to be playing for Jamal Murray, who was not suspended for his actions? You will not have to be stepping in for him now.
You know, I kind of thought that was how it was going to go. All the indications were there. I don't think the league wants to take away the Nuggets' second best player and have this series go down quickly. $100,000 is a pretty big fine. That being said, what Jamal did was wrong. He shouldn't have done it. And I think he just totally had a meltdown. Somehow that's just not like Jamal Murray. You know, he's not a repeat offender. And for him to do what he did was just so shocking. It was just kind of emblematic of how bad the Nuggets were and what kind of a conclusion that game came to. I just thought it was a complete meltdown by the whole team, including Jamal and Joker.
Chris, has Jamal talked yet about that? And if not, when he does, how will he handle this, just knowing him?
Well, he talked the other day, and he wasn't much for talking about it. He said, that happened on Monday, time to move on.
So he's not going to address it?
Yeah, time to move on. He didn't want to address it. He didn't want to talk about it. I don't blame him. I wouldn't have either, but I think I would have taken more of the high road. Look, I made a mistake. I got frazzled. That wasn't me. I don't know why I did it. Someone made me do it. And I apologize, and nothing like that will ever happen again. I think you do it there and you cut it all off. You know, him saying, well, a couple days later, it's not news. Well, it's not news because you avoided the media. So right. I think Jamal, you know, I was thinking about this today. How did the Nuggets kind of get back on track? And, you know, Jamal's got to get his mind right. And I think this whole thing with Joker and should he have been the three-time MVP might actually help galvanize the team and get them back on a championship level. Because right now, the way they're playing, they're not going to beat Minnesota. They've got to come up with a new solution.
So what's the discussion more like in Denver? Is it more about Joker and the three-time MVP, or is it more about Jamal Murray?
It's much more about Joker right now. People are really pissed out here about what Shaq said and did and how he commented on the whole thing. And it just sounded classless. It wasn't appropriate at that time. It just felt my first thought about it, he's a big crybaby because he didn't win three MVPs and maybe Joker's gaining on him that he wanted to take down Jokic. I just thought it was totally uncalled for. And it's really gotten everybody in Denver kind of refocused. And certainly the 3 days off has helped. And I think you're going to see the Nuggets' best effort. And there's one thing about the Nuggets team. They love Nikola Jokic. He's a great guy. He's affable. He's, as kind a human being. He's a team player all the way. Really doesn't care about the stats. Doesn't look at the stat sheet. Wants to make his teammates better. And they're all mad at how this thing has kind of worked out. And so I think you're gonna see a great effort from the Denver Nuggets on Friday night. I would not be surprised if they get up into Minnesota and get the W there.
Why does he seem to make NBA media time so mad? Is it because he's so unorthodox with his play? I'm trying to figure out why people are so upset when he wins awards.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to figure. He certainly doesn't have the prototypical NBA game. He's not a high flyer. He's not a fast runner. He doesn't do the things that Kobe and Jordan and some of these other guys did. That being said, I think there's a little bit of bias towards Europeans and the Europeans taking over the American game and Giannis and Embiid and Joker, you know, having the inside slot on these MVP awards and the Americans not being able to wrestle those away. So I think there's kind of a bias there. It was interesting on that panel the other night, Shaq, Kenny, and Charles all have been kind of in the corner of someone else winning the MVP instead of Jokic. The only pushback they really got was from Ernie. And then when they showed the voting, it was 79 out of 100 thought that Nikola Jokic should win the award. So it wasn't like he squeaked by with three votes or some crazy ballot counting in Kentucky. Wasn't like that. It was a landslide. It was a landslide. And I think Jokic certainly had the numbers. He's got the stats. They had the same record as Oklahoma City and Shea. All the numbers always point to Jokic. Could Shea have won it? Maybe. But, I think it was a great choice for Jokic. And I'm just sorry that Shaquille O'Neal, a guy who I know, not well, and a guy who is part of a great TNT team.
Oh, yeah.
They are the bellwether of NBA basketball. Yeah. And for them to act like ESPN, that's kind of what I was thinking. This is something kind of that ESPN would do, to belittle Jokic. And I just didn't like it at all. That's my unvarnished opinion.
No, it's great. I appreciate you sharing that opinion. I'm in no way burying the Nuggets here in this series, down 2-0 right now. But do you see a little bit of last year's Nuggets that broke through and won the NBA title with this year's Minnesota team?
Well, Minnesota has had more fire in the belly, I would say that. They're young, they're hungry, they're long, they're talented. They have all the elements. What I'm surprised at is that the Nuggets haven't responded in kind. Now, granted, there have been injuries for the Nuggets, and when you take Murray and you've got KCP and you've got Reggie Jackson, they're all playing on sprained ankles. You know, you lost your experienced bench of last season. The Nuggets aren't quite what they were. But that being said, Jokic has to play with more emotion. He has to get that eye of the tiger back. Murray's got to play more efficiently. The Nuggets got to come out in the first quarter and win that first quarter. They're getting blitzed in every single first quarter they play. Even with the Lakers, they were behind, from the get-go. They have to play with more physicality. They're just getting pushed around. And I hate to say this, got to quit crying to the refs. The refs aren't going to help you out that much. You have to play physically. And my partner, Scott Hastings, always tells me this, that the team that is more physical usually gets the calls or is on the right side of the whistle. So I just think this constant complaining to the officials, I didn't get that. No. Set hard screens. Take a hard foul, play with competitive fire, box out, get rebounds. You have to get into it, but play with much more fire. Play with, I think Michael Malone said it yesterday, play with the heart of a champion. Play like champions, and they'll have a good chance to win on Friday night.
One of the best broadcasters, Chris Marlowe, with us. You've been around. You've seen a ton of great players. I would describe Anthony Edwards as lethal. Just his ability to score the ball. When you watch him, Chris, what comes to mind? Because I still don't know if the average fan outside of an NBA market is talking enough about Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, you know what? What comes to mind is the Jordan rules that were set up by the Detroit Pistons. I don't know if the Nuggets have given him the respect he deserves in terms of being a great player. Now, in the past, when the Nuggets have played, when Dame Lillard was in his heyday with the Portland Trailblazers, or James Harden in his heyday with Houston, they would double team when he come across the half court line. There was an extra guy always watching out for those guys. And, you know, we've been trying to cover him one-on-one. We started with KCP. That really hasn't worked. Gordon doesn't seem to be able to cover him. He's not quite quick enough. Christian Brown, actually, the second-year man from Kansas, has proved to be the most adept at covering him. He's strong, he's fast, but can he score when he's in the lineup? So I like Anthony Edwards. He said all the right things. He probably is the heir apparent. That being said, I think there are things that they can do with him that would be effective. I think there are changes that Michael Malone and his coaching staff can make to turn this series around. And this obviously, this is game three. Game three is it. I think teams are 150, 50 million and zero. There's no team that has ever won down 3-0. So this is the game. There is no, I saw that in the movie one. This is it. This is the game. The Nuggets have to win. I think they can, but they're going to have to play a heck of a lot better than they have been.
I think you would have enjoyed our opening segment to the show. We went down memory lane. We're discussing Knicks and Pacers and the old school Knicks Pacers and going through the Pacers depth chart from like 95.
Yeah.
We miss that era so much. How much are you enjoying just seeing the Knicks, for instance, back in the postseason and seeing what they're doing and just the gravitational pull it has for the average fan to tune in and lock in on that with a little trash talk. You've got Reggie there getting F-bombs shouted at him. It felt like old school, and it's a part of the game that I miss.
Well, I'm not as wild about all that as you guys are. I have thought that the Knicks are a great story, and particularly Jalen Brunson, a guy who was cast off from Dallas. And this guy has turned into Superman. He's just impossible to guard. He's gritty as hell. He knock him down, take him out, bring him back in. Nobody can guard him. They can't figure out what to do. And I really love the way the Knicks have been playing basketball. And I think if the Nuggets were going to look at another team in the playoffs and go, hey, we need to play more like that team. That's kind of how we were playing last year, when they went 16-4 on the way to the championship. That's the way you got to do it. I think the Knicks, and I would say this, if the Knicks get by this round, and it looks like they may, if they were full strength, I'd pick them to beat Boston. I love Boston's talent. I think they got a great starting five. They've got all those guys. They're a shiny new Porsche. But I think if you put the Knicks full strength against Boston full strength, the Knicks could beat them because they just got that grit and grind and they got that old type of mentality. And I think when we get to that series, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out.
I know you mentioned the officials and not really focusing on that if you're the team. Have you noticed a difference in just the lack of consistency, or is this just par for the course for any league?
You know what? I have a pretty good relationship with the officials as an announcer. My partner's a little different. He gets on the officials a lot. Scott Hastings, he's a constant critiquer of the officials, and I'm trying to be the voice of reason. I think that the officials try to do a good job. Personally, I don't think they're trying to cheat. I don't think they're trying to favor another team. And I never thought in my wildest dreams in 20 years that, you know, officials could turn the tide in a game. And then all of a sudden we had Tim Donaghy. And so I think that hopefully the officials are past that, that there's nothing like that going on. Although with all the betting going on, you wonder, you know, how it's all playing out. I just think that blaming the officials is not a good look. It's not a good look. I played sports. I played sports at a high level, and it always seemed to me that the better way to handle the officials is to take the high road and say, look, when you look at this, this play, you're going to really regret it, you know. Or when there's an egregious play, if you want to go nuts, then sure, I'm fine with that. But players, you know, they're doing this on every single play, and you can see the hacks and the, you know, I don't blame the officials for getting upset when players can't admit they call fouls. I go back to the day when, you know, you foul someone, you raise your hand.
Yeah.
You guys call are probably own. Too young to remember that.
No.
Yeah.
Call your own
I
foul.
Did it. Yeah, I call know. Your own I did it. Yeah, your hand that was out. Me.
No, they don't do that anymore. Now it's, you know, the wiggly finger, and I just think it's a bad look. That being said, the officiating has been, I think, inconsistent is a good way to see it. You see something happen like Murray gets run over by Towns in that last game. That wouldn't have made it the difference, but it was just kind of emblematic of what's going on. You see the Pacers complaining that there were 29 missed calls, and that can't all be true. Let's hope tomorrow night, they haven't announced the officials, but I'm hoping that Zach Zarba is the crew chief. I think he's the best official in the NBA. He's fair. He's got a good rapport with the players. He doesn't get excited. He doesn't hand out technicals, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And let's hope it's a well officiated game tomorrow night. Whoever wins it, but we don't have to come back and go, oh, what happened here? Is this going to happen again? I'm hoping that that does not take place.
Sounds like you know who the crew chief will be, even though it hasn't been announced yet, doesn't it, Chad?
I really don't.
He knows what he wants, that's for sure.
Well, I just keep my fingers crossed that you have, in my opinion, you know, you look at the officials, and there are certain officials when, and I'm not going to name names here, but when the Denver Nuggets play, and I look down at the official sheet, and I go, oh, it's so nah. Oh, my God. This is going to be a challenge because they've either got issues with Jokic, or they got issues with Murray, or they got issues with Malone, or they're harboring a grudge. And when I see, at least for my opinion, when I see Zach Zarber or Scott Foster, I feel like I'm going to get a well officiated game. I'm going to get a well officiated game. I know there's a lot of people don't like Scott Foster. I'm not one of them. I think those two guys, if I see one of those guys tomorrow night for the Nuggets, I know they got a chance to win on the road.
Hey, Chris, because you saw them up close and personal, what's the whole vibe around LeBron and the Lakers when you watch that team? What's the sense you get about them? I know a lot's been said about their quick exit in the playoffs to the Nuggets, but what do you think when you see that group operate?
Well, I think they played well. They have a good team. It took the Nuggets, you know, two last second buzzer beaters to knock him out of the playoffs. I thought LeBron played great. I thought Anthony Davis was sensational. They just didn't have as good a team as the Denver Nuggets. They don't have the complementary role players. And, you know, they didn't have Jamal Murray making clutch shots. You know, the Lakers are always going to be good because people want to go to L.A. They want to play in Los Angeles. There's lots of perks there. People want to go play with LeBron. That being said, they cry a little when they lose. There's always some kind of an excuse. It's the refs or it's this or we didn't have enough support. Sometimes you just have to say, hey, we lost to a better team. How about that? We lost to a better team, and we'll try and do better next year. That's kind of what Kobe used to do whenever they were knocked out of the playoffs. So I think that's probably a lesson for their two superstars. Just sometimes acknowledge when you're not quite as good, acknowledge when the other team is better, and give them their flowers.
Chris Marlowe is the play-by-play voice for the Denver Nuggets. Last time you joined us, Chris, you just won Colorado Sportscaster of the Year.
I'd almost forgotten about that. It's been so long.
Well, yeah. Hey,
that's what we're here for, to remind you of your awards.
Not only that, but
well,
then
you're welcome.
That led us into your entire case behind you. I'm sure you've won other awards since then because you're the very best, and we always love having you on, man.
Well, thank you. You know, people have been very kind about the Colorado Broadcaster of the Year. They're having a ceremony in July back in South Carolina, and I'm going back with all the other broadcasters and the national guys, and people ask me about it, and they say, congratulations on the Broadcaster of the Year. I said, yep, it only took me 20 years to get it.
But you made it. You made it.
And everybody laughs, but I'm appreciative. Thank you for reminding me.
Yes, and have fun. Not being hard on the refs, while Scott certainly will be. That'll be a blast tomorrow.
Well, if the Nuggets win tomorrow night, you heard it here first.
I'm with you.
They'll be galvanized by
Are you with us that the Pacers win as well?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I think so. With the injuries that the Knicks are sustaining right now, I think the Pacers go home. They at least get one. I think they could win two. Both of those games have been really competitive. And I think the Pacers get their next game.
I sense a parlay coming.
They got 1-2, yeah.
There we go.
We're not allowed to bet.
I know.
I'm saying this side, we are allowed
we
to
can't
bet.
Raise our hand and
we
say, yes, we,
on that.
We'll
not,
raise our hand like
we're
we do
not
fouls.
Paid by any NBA team, so we will be betting those games for sure. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime.
Yeah, Chris Marlowe. He's awesome. Fun guest today with Armando and Chris.
Yeah.
Good insight there, too. So they do switch up the crews. And they don't announce it until late.
And I like how he has
picked out
who he would like to see a game like this.
You know, you get the tendencies, and, you know, teams will have that. You know, I always reference the NFL just being within that broadcast world, but you get reports on that.
Yeah.
This crew calls more holding penalties. This crew is more defensive pass interference. You know, like...
It's part of the scouting report.
And you know how your team's built and whether or not it's going to match up with that crew.
Yeah.
And then there's beef. A lot of trash talk, too.
Yep.
Chad, the Arena Football League. I spent a couple seasons doing this reluctantly, and then it was a blast. I'll explain why and, well, why it's back and then, I guess, leaving again. It's done. That's next year on Hot Mic. Chad, your official weekend is beginning. Are you going to have a cold one?
You know what? I didn't even think about it until now, Hutton, and now that I've thought about it, yes. The answer is yes, I will be.
You going to pour one out for
bartender.
The Arena Football League?
I think I apparently need to before it even started. It's like we didn't even know it.
Well, I mean, they've played, I think, two games, I think. The NFL Network, according to Front Office Sports, killed a distribution deal with the AFL, the Arena Football League, after seeing the extent of the league's issues. And one franchise is already folded in this. The Iowa Rampage folded after just one game. This is straight from the report for failing to disclose a full cost associated with the reboot. Let's see. The commissioner, his name is Lee Hutton.
Your uncle?
Lee Hutton and his team have destroyed.
Who would be a better commissioner of the AFL, Lee Hutton or Jonathan Hutton? I vote Jonathan Hutton. I don't think the Iowa Rampage would be folding under your watch, Hutton.
I'm bringing back.
I think you'd get the Iowa Rampage coach and owner on the phone and say, you listen here, you son of a bitch. We just started this league, and I'm not going to have one of my banner franchises
in
Des Moines. Leave me this quick. Are they in Des Moines or Iowa City? Who knows?
Who cares? They're not a team anymore.
Davenport?
Maybe so, yeah. The
Quad Cities?
They apparently all hate the commissioner, Lee Hutton, which is why I'm sure I'm not related to him.
Yeah.
They say that he's destroyed not only the revival of the AFL, but the league has destroyed the hopes of players all over the U.S. How about that?
This is Lee Hutton. We're seeing a photo of him right now.
Well, there's Lee.
This is the George Kliavikoff.
They are not a fan
of
Lee Hutton. Not a fan. You've got the Billings Outlaws, who changed a Week 2 game against the Oregon Black Bears to one against the Washington Wolfpack due to concerns about unsafe field conditions.
Can you
Salem.
Run through those teams one more time, please? Yeah, that was the most entertaining part about that entire story.
You have the Louisiana Voodoo.
Okay.
They used to be the New Orleans Voodoo whenever I was helping call games.
Strong organization, if I recall, back then.
The Billings Outlaws.
That's a cool name.
Yes.
I'd like that minor league baseball hat, if that was
a
team.
The Philadelphia Soul.
Okay, that's the one that John Bon Jovi once owned.
Yes. Let's see. And the, what did I say about the Black Bears? The Oregon Black Bears.
Or Washington. Wasn't Washington one of them?
The Washington Wolfpack.
Okay. Is that Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
I think that's Washington State, because that would be Oregon, right? Oregon's, yeah, that would be traveling.
Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, you just travel wherever you can. Right. NFL Network was due to show 30 different AFL games this season, and they announced this in March, and here we are in May. And, non-payment by the AFL to a production company working with the network, well, that cut the Week 1 broadcasts. And then now we're here where they're just, well, they've got bigger issues. We don't want anything to do with it. Well, so the full demise of the agreement between the league and the NFL Network, it's over. I was helping as part of the Titans Radio Network. We had to call Bud Adams, owned the Nashville Cats in the offseason. So this time of year, myself and Mike Keith, the voice of the Titans.
You'd hit the road on a bus.
We would travel. We would actually fly commercial where Little Richard would board before us.
Yep.
He would show up. He'd be wheeled in a wheelchair.
Covered in a blanket.
To the gate.
Very cold. Very sick.
5:30 in the morning. And, you know, it's like, okay, all pre-boards. And Little Richard would just
dance,
up, walk straight onto the
dance
plane.
Dance his ass right on the plane.
Yes. We've been asleep for maybe an hour and a half.
A wop baba doolop, a wop bam boop. Did he say that
the way? Tutti frutti the whole way. And he set
just scooting right past all the family boarding and the soldiers that are trying to board before him.
Yeah, I mean, he sat in the very first row.
Thanks for your service, but I'll be getting that.
In a blanket over his
service
legs.
Seat.
Blanket over his legs, very thin blanket. And you would, everyone would come on board, and he would like shake your hand as you came on board, like the greeter. I just walked right past him.
That's great.
Yeah, Little Richard. Anyway,
the
stories
dead.
With the players that were in that league, Chad, would maybe not stun you or shock you, but would amuse you.
Yeah.
Guys missing flights because they're hungover.
Well, I hope Lee Hutton can pull it together, Hutton. Your uncle Lee needs to pull this thing together. We need more Billings.
Let's go, Unc.
Billings Outlaws games. That's what we need.
Well, Billings is still a team.
What the hell is the NFL Network going to show also other than AFL games right now on a Wednesday night?
America's game. I don't know.
America's game and old NFL games, I know from this past season.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that. But
NFL Now, the latest news and updates
across
the offseason.
I guess the AFL pays them to air their games? It's not like a traditional?
No, they were just going to air the games, and the production company that was due a payment, they didn't receive
NFL
payment.
Network set AFL up the production company and AFL didn't pay for it?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Dave, you got something?
Yeah, the Rampage were based in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Of course they were.
Which was near Omaha, but...
It is Omaha. Like, okay. There's a river.
That's right.
It's like East Nashville and downtown Nashville. There's just a
What's
river.
What's Council Bluffs going to do
a river
now
in
without
between.
The Iowa Rampage? Are they going to have, like, the local wrestling promotion?
Council Bluffs has all the casinos.
It is the state's 10th most populous city.
Yeah.
Let's go.
When you fly into Omaha, I know this all too well. You go right past Council Bluffs on your way up through.
Dad, here's
Nebraska.
A name from the past. Let's end the show with a name from the past, like we did at the beginning with Rick Smits.
Okay.
Dan Alexander from Nebraska.
Yes,
he was the running back for the Nashville Cats.
Yes, he was.
In a passing league.
Yes, he was.
Whenever we were calling the games, Jeff Smoker from Michigan State was the quarterback. Whenever he was sober,
just like the Duncan Dutchman and the Davis brothers, those guys got it done.
We got it done today.
We will get it done tomorrow.
4 p.m. Eastern, Hot Mic with Hunt and Withrow, right here at outkick.com/watch.